Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Now, teacup bird feeders, pom-pom cushions, kitchen cabinet makeovers and tin can candles. If you're looking to spruce up your home over the summer or get a few crafty ideas for your school holidays, my next guest has a new book with endless ideas. It's blogger, author and regular to this programme, Catherine Carton, who joins me in the studio. And her new book is called Dainty Dress Diaries. It's lovely to have you again on the programme. And I was just saying to you there when you came in, the book is gorgeous.
Thank you
so much. Beautiful thing in itself. You must be so proud of it.
I am. And you know what? Last night I was actually pulling some notes for the show and I was sitting at the back, and because you spend so much time actually making the book, putting it together and like all the editing and stuff that goes in, I was actually sitting there and I was looking at it like as a reader almost.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, I had that. The tear in the eye.
You see, I love what you do because at one point with the pom-pom cushion,
yeah,
you were in a really expensive place in London,
yeah,
and you saw that cushion.
I saw a pom-pom
cushion. You thought, I can do that.
Yeah, because I think it was like £150 for a cushion, and I was like, well, I can make a cushion. So I just made some pom-poms. So I always say to people, especially on my YouTube channel, it's like, take the idea and just make it your own. So I didn't make the exact pom-pom cushion that I saw in the expensive shop. I just made my own version of it.
Yeah, but that was hugely popular on YouTube, was it?
Yeah, it's at 1.9 million views, and I'm like, who is watching a pom-pom cushion video on YouTube?
Extraordinary. And you know, I loved looking through your book. I love some of the ideas.
Thank you.
But I tried to make a pom-pom last year, well, at some point during the COVID pandemic, and it was a disaster.
So the trick with a pom-pom is you need to trim it.
Okay, go on.
So when you make a pom-pom, it's going to look a little bit fluffy and a little bit sad. But when you trim it, that's when you get that perfect mm-hmm. shape. Now, you can get pom-pom makers as well if you're feeling a bit fancy. But I just use cardboard.
I see that. Your pictures here. Yeah, you're going at this
school.
The old-fashioned way.
Yeah. So the trick is, if you've got an unruly pom-pom, trim it. Trim it.
But what occurs to me as I go through the book is whether you feel people need to have a bit of an aptitude for this stuff. I mean, you're clearly very good at it. Can you learn it?
Absolutely. So I would have been like a creative kid, but then obviously when you go into school, it's kind of just lost along the way because art is like, you do it on a Friday. It's a bit of a dossier subject. So it was actually when I bought my house and I couldn't really, you know, afford fancy things, but I wanted fancy looking things. So that's when my kind of creativity, you know, started back up again, whether it was, you know, like going to furniture upcycling workshops, getting like a lot of pieces in my home is secondhand, like my kitchen table and chairs, 50 quid off a secondhand site, painted up and sanded it back. So you can do a lot with, you know, secondhand pieces. So that's where the spark kind of started again. And mm-hmm. then that led to sewing, that led to drilling holes through china teacups and a bit of woodwork. So it all just grows. I think creativity, it just kind of grows arms and legs and you can get a little bit addicted to it.
Yeah, and you need to just start growing your confidence with the smaller
start
projects.
Start small. And in the book, I made sure each chapter starts with something that's a bit easier. And then we go into kind of like something more advanced, so mm-hmm. people can kind of, I always say, build your confidence and then just do it consistently over time then as well.
And you have ideas from the kitchen, as you mentioned there,
yeah.
through to the little frou-frou things like the pom-pom cushion, yeah. but also outside, you know, some really
yes.
extensive structural projects that you've been
yeah.
doing outside.
So in the garden, I suppose I always tell people like this time of year, just use what you already have in the garden. So if you are going, oh God, the garden's looking a bit sad and I want to have the good weather comes out and you want to have people over. So I always say, you know, does the shed, does the fence need to be repainted? Have you got old wooden furniture? Does something need to be painted or sprayed? And then get the bones of it nice and clean. And then if you want to add like a bit of interest, I have some projects in the book. I've got like the bee hotel to get nature into the garden. We've got the teacup bird feeders. But also if you are a bit brave, I have, you know, raised beds. So if you want to do like a no dig garden, I have like raised beds and then a raised bed with legs as well. So if you know, gardening can be quite strenuous. So if you need to have something with a bit of height, mm-hmm. I have that in the book as well. But yeah, and don't be afraid to like get quirky with things. So I have a chair that was chopped in half. One half is a shelf, the other half is a planter. in the past I've said on the show about using like containers. So like something that maybe isn't a container, you can turn it into a container. Just add holes for drainage, good soil, mix in a bit of grit so you have that drainage, and anything can kind of be a container or a planter.
And speaking of which, and going inside, you're taking milk cartons and turning them into lovely containers as well. And that's a nice, easy project, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's kid friendly. I do have, you can put like a little fabric liner on the inside, but if you just have, you know, lollipop sticks, some glue, you could do that in an afternoon if you have. Like my niece and nephew love kind of rummaging. They're always in my office in the drawers because I've got the paint stashes, I've got the frilly stuff, and they're always just rummaging. I'm like, get out of the office.
You're great for rummaging yourself in the secondhand shops.
Yeah.
And you have some good tips in here for buying furniture.
Yeah. So when you first kind of move into a house, you think, oh, I have to fill every inch of this house with furniture, and you don't, because it can get quickly like overwhelming. So I always say measure your space. So when you are on the buzz of looking for secondhand pieces, and especially when things are going for free, you can fall into the trap of taking all these items, but you can quickly get overwhelmed. Like I did have to do a shed clear out, and the amount of chairs that came out of it just because they were free. So only get what you actually want, and it is worth holding out for a piece. So if you do see something and it's like cheap, but if it's not the right size or dimensions, it is worth just holding out. And then obviously check for things like woodworm and damage, but don't let damage kind of put you off, because you can. I mean, there's so many videos online where you can use like wood filler to repair, you know, damaged furniture. And obviously in the book I talk about, you know, sharing tips on paint and furniture. But if that's not your style, you can totally like stain it. There's a great trend at the moment for actually just wood grain pieces. So you might just have to sand something back and give it a wax.
Stripping it back a bit.
Yeah.
How do you check for woodworm? Is it those telltale little pock marks?
Yeah. And sometimes, unfortunately, it can be on the inside of a piece and you might not notice until, you know, you get the piece home and you're actually stripping it out to clean it. So the telltale sign is those little kind of
little
holes and dust. If there's a lot of fresh like sawdust, that's a sign that they could be alive in the piece.
Ooh, and you can't come back from that. The piece can't come back from that. You just wouldn't bring it home,
personally,
would you?
For a beginner, I wouldn't touch it. But if you're more advanced, you can treat it. Like if it's a piece you really love, or if it's like an antique, it could be like, I love those antique Singer sewing machines. I would try and like salvage that, but just keep it away. Don't bring it into the house. Bring it into like a shed and keep it away from other pieces.
You have a big section on sewing, but you're saying don't go out and buy a sewing machine straight off.
Yeah. The amount, if you just go onto a secondhand website and type in like the keyword, you know, sewing machine, unwanted present, barely used, you will find so many sewing machines, and you can get them for like 50 quid, 100 quid. Just get yourself a, I would have a look first for a secondhand one, because the amount of people who buy them and don't use them and they're sitting in the box, and then they'll do a clear out and you can haggle as well. And then if you are getting a secondhand sewing machine, just check off the manual, see if they have all the bobbins and the bits. Now you can get replacement bits like that online, but the whole point of buying a secondhand is getting a like good value.
And you're going to tell me now it's easy to use a sewing machine.
No, you can get, I call a sewing machine rage, a sewing machine, because if you have the thread off, if you don't thread the machine properly, you end up getting like these things called bird's nests when you're sewing, and all the thread bunches up.
Oh yeah, big knot. Oh, nightmare, yeah.
If that happens, get the manual out, rethread the machine properly, and use good thread. So don't use the cheap thread. Use good thread.
Oh, painting the kitchen, which I love the sound of this idea because it transforms the room, doesn't it?
And obviously, we're, like from chatting with people online, a lot of people have pushed back plans for renovations because of the cost. But they still want to have, you know,
something nice,
a cosmetic, you know, upgrade. So if your kitchen cabinets are absolutely shoddy and you don't like them, do have a look and see if you can get a secondhand kitchen online. People do sell them on. They'll sell their old kitchens, and a lot of it can be good wood. So if you do have like damaged doors, maybe look at replacing the doors. And then painting your kitchen cabinets. I always say when it comes to painting, prep prime and then paint. So make sure you clean everything down with a good sugar soap and a degreaser. Lightly sand it. Some people are like, oh, I don't have to sand it. The primer said don't sand, but just from experience, just give it a light sanding. You're keying the surface for the paint to adhere to it better. And then use a primer for the material. So I have like an MDF shiny kitchen. It's not solid wood. So I use a special primer designed for that. And then if you have knots in the wood like pine, you'll get a primer for that. But your local decorating shop can kind of guide
we'll
you.
Help you.
And then your top coat, yeah.
And you have a transformed kitchen. Well, the book is out now. Now it's called Dainty Dress Diaries, 50 Beautiful Home Crafting Projects to Awaken Your Creativity,
yes.
By Catherine Carton, and it is published by O'Brien Press, and it's out now. Catherine, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
And we wish you all the very best. We'll see you again soon.
Yes,
in the
you.
Headlines, a 40-year-old former member of the Defence Forces has been found not guilty of financing terrorism by sending money to a man for the benefit of the terrorist group Islamic State. However, the Special Criminal Court is still giving its verdict on a charge that Lisa Smith was a member of that group. That's it for today. Thank you for listening. Today's programme was produced by Barbara Feeney, researched by Amy Ryan. Louise Kerr-Ross was our broadcast coordinator. Liam Mullen was on sound. I'll be back on telly later for Clare Byrne Live, the last one ever. We'll be hearing from a GAA All-Star on the undiagnosed condition that plagued him for years. We'll also speak to a woman who was scammed out of €2,500 when she tried to book a flight. And we're keeping a very close eye on the latest developments at Dublin Airport too. That's RT1 Television at 10:35. Now it's over to Shea Byrne.